Bible study, Proverbs chapter number 14 is where we'll be at tonight, but we do have one other thing that I need to get help from Brother Bert for, and from the church. We need to sing one more song. Somebody has a birthday today.
Pastor Carter's birthday today. Amen. Stand up, Pastor Carter. Amen. Let's sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Amen. And Pastor Carter, I expect you Sunday morning to come down and put money in the offering plate in Sunday school, okay? Yes, amen.
Preacher, if you'll come, he's going to get the microphone. I'll meet you down front. We got something for you tonight. And that's Jeff. Supposed to give honor to whom honor's due, and so Jeff Cruz will get you back. Amen. Preacher, this is a gift from our church and our deacons and everybody. The deacons didn't give anything to it yet, but I'm just kidding. They all, again, you know, it's something that's been such a blessing taking and transitioning here, and I don't know everybody else. I tell everybody, and I hope the church knows that this is I'm living the dream. Amen. Being able to be a part with you and keep going with you and here and all that you stuck in with me. I appreciate even throwing the rope of Sunday school on you. I feel like, you know, I appreciate you so much. And we have something else. We found a well-used tire that we thought that you could use at your shop or something. I don't know, maybe put on that Ford. So we wanted to give that to you too. When we went to Bristol, we got we found a tire, a NASCAR tire. We thought you might like it at your shop. So.
I don't know if it's a message there or not. It's a flat tire. Thank you so much. I appreciate the church. I appreciate Brother Parsons. So happy with the way God is using him. And thank you. I did wake up this morning feeling older. And we did get a couple of sympathy cards already. So we do appreciate this.
Thank you so much. Amen. How about giving him a hand as he goes back? Amen. Amen. Proverbs chapter 14, and if you didn't get a card in, there's a little bit of time. We are going to, I know they don't want us to do that necessarily, but on August 29th, the next day, the 30th, the Monday, so we'll start with Brother Ron Westmoreland will be here to preach for us that night, but then after that evening service, we're going to have a fellowship and celebrate Pastor and Miss Carter's wedding anniversary. And so we'll give more information about that. Want you to bring all the goodies. We will have cake, but, you know, we need to have we haven't had a full fellowship in a while. You know, we need to have, all you ladies bring all that good stuff you make, your specialty item, and bring that in. And so we could all enjoy that and some cake. And you're welcome again. If you didn't get his card to him, he'll still take a birthday card even then and an anniversary card. Amen. And so. Proverbs 14, we've been in the book for a while now, and again, as we've studied the book, we've talked about often, again, it is a father writing to a son. It is under the inspiration of God. It's a book of wisdom. We've said so many things about the book, but again, we just want to remind you, it is a book that teaches us in contrast. It's gonna tell us one thing that's the right way, and it's going to tell us the wrong way. Sometimes it starts off by telling us the wrong thing and what not to do, but then says, but this is what God wants you to do. And so we're going to constantly learn through the chapter in contrast. And then if you really, a lot of times commentators or people that teach the book, it's just that it's just random teachings verse to verse, and it's really not that way. The book is a father writing to his son, and it builds. It kind of builds and goes to a place. And if you look at it from that way, again, I recommend that you can go through this book, you know, every day of your life. Again, if you're going to gain in wisdom, I do know James chapter 1 says, again, don't just read the book of Proverbs and never ask God to give you wisdom. Because again, God's going to give it to you if you ask him for it. But again, then you need to go to his book of wisdom. And again, Proverbs is a good place to start to read and to study and to build up those truths of the word of God in your life. And so as we look at verse 1, it's going to focus in on the ladies. It said a lot of things to men. And just because James chapter 1 says, if any man lack, it doesn't mean just for men, it's for women as well. If you go to God and ask, and we know those things. But here in verse 1, it's going to talk about the home. And he's been saying things about mom and dad throughout the chapters as we've transitioned from Pastor Carter beginning to teach the book and me continuing. So as we come to chapter 14, it's going to have some things here that moms in the home, and again, that doesn't mean you're a stay-at-home mom. I'm just meaning mom in the home. When you read this, you ought to turn your ears on in verse number 1. Look at verse 1. It says, every wise woman buildeth her house. Again, teaching us in contrast. But the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. The word here, every, that means every wise woman. Sometimes we miss the little things in the word of God. And so that it doesn't mean it means if you practice this as a wise woman, you will build up your house. The great thing about studying the word of God and putting it into practice in our life, there's a lot of shall come to passes in the Bible. There's every whosoever. All right. And so there's a lot of those that if we practice and do the things that God tells us to do, there's a guaranteed result if we'll do it God's way. But again, it's going to go the opposite way for the person that's going to go the opposite route. Or again, any other. So take it God's way, do it God's way as a wise woman and build up your house, or you can do it your own way. And that place is going to lead to the same destruction. It's going to lead to the same place. I don't know. I'm a farm boy. You know, I grew up on the farm and I speak about that often. But again, here, the contrast is two different things or trades. One is buildeth up her house. Again, in the church, we grow. In our home, we want to build up. The word itself here, again, to build, just to put it in your idea for you men, it's a little bit better structure for us, but it says to frame, to construct. That's the definition. To raise. Or for ladies, maybe you can get on this, to unite materials. If you're a seamstress and you're going to build something, and a lot of times we don't think about that when we're sewing a dress together, and I never do that, but I mean, if you do that, I'm going to be more on the to frame side of it. But again, when we unite materials to build something, that's what it's talking about. You know, in the home, there are all kinds of things that go on. You have the school day, you have so many different people that you allow or focus influence in your child's life. But when you get home, that one of the most important times is when the family comes together and everybody gets home and you take all the different materials of the day that your child has heard, and you as mom have influence in the home to unite the materials. To take all the things that they've learned from the day, right, wrong, or indifferent, and we need to cast, this doesn't fit, let's learn something from this. This wasn't good, or this is good. You learn this, okay, now what do you think? Now add it to this. And so as you unite materials, what are you doing in your child? You're building them up. You're bringing all these things into a place. We're supposed to train them up in the way that they're going to go. And so as we're trying to raise a child, we often don't think about raising a child like we're raising a building. And we often have to do this. And again, I know this is kind of, we're sticking on this one verse a lot, but just let me say this, that child, the outside of their body will continue to grow as long as you feed it. And the spiritual word of God, the things inside of them, they have to make a choice. And again, a lot of times you need to take the things that are going on all around them and unite them. You know, even in the church, when we talk about so many the generations of people that don't make it, they grow up in a good church, they hear the good word of God, and they don't ever, sometimes the missing piece isn't that the church didn't teach and preach the book. It's not that the church didn't preach and teach all the counsel of God that your child needed. Sometimes at home, we fail to unite those things with our home. Sometimes because what we practice in the home isn't what's preached on Sunday. Sometimes because what we practice at home doesn't exactly meet up and we don't want to talk about it. That is why it's good for the church and the home to be on the same page and use the same blueprint when they're framing. When you're framing, I ought to be able to roll that to Blueprint in church and preach and never step on any toes of what's going on at your house, because you're framing the same walls I'm framing. You're using the same nails I'm using. You're using the same grade lumber that I'm using. You're not using twisted up and crooked lumber. You're using straight lumber from the book. Amen. And so, again, trying to help it to be home. Again, the Bible talks a lot about, even think about this, like, a garment, sewing something old into a new garment, that's not good either. So if we're trying to put it on the lady side, think about what you're building or adding something to it. Those things, again, using the wrong building materials are not good. And so as we unite things and grow, look at the verse again. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. That word foolish, again, we know what the fool means, but this foolish is talking about void of understanding. It doesn't mean that they don't have any knowledge. Okay, doesn't mean that they don't have, again, if I could say it, that they haven't heard any wisdom. But when you're taking knowledge and the right use of knowledge is wisdom. And then when you use it the right way, you get understanding why God told you to do it that way. Most of the time, you never get to the place where you understand why you're doing what you're doing until you have first been obedient and practiced what God asked you to practice. And then on the backside, hindsight is 20/20, and you say, now I understand. There are a lot of homes that get on the backside of raising their kids, and the kids are 18, 19, 20, and then they say, I understand why I should have done it that way. I understand why I should have invested in this, or why I should have been there for this. And again, I'm looking out at a diverse crowd, but I'm just telling you, you're always better off taking the Word of God at face value and being obedient to the Word of God and coming to a place in your life, even when you don't understand, all right? Practice God's word, because it's always, every time, it's going to come out good. Otherwise, when we take the word, when it's being preached, the opposite is true. What's being preached in the house of God is right from the word of God, and then at home we're plucking it down. We're tearing it to pieces. We're plucking, again, even if we don't say anything bad about the preacher, when we start picking at, oh, he was preaching that, but that's just meddling. That wasn't the Bible. That's his opinion. We're plucking at the person that, when they need counsel, where are you going to take them to? So you're going to take them to the preacher, but when you take them there, you've already plucked all his feathers. He don't look like much of a rooster after he's plucked clean. You pluck him every Sunday afternoon and you get in there and he ain't got no feathers left. He don't look like much to them when he goes in there. You know, when you go, I'm going to be honest with you, as a young person, I thank God that my parents, they loved my pastor and they could take me in there. And I knew he loved me. I knew he cared for me. I knew when he got in the pulpit, and even when he was rough with me, he had my best interest at heart. And again, I didn't have that tearing down the preacher all the time. And so when I needed skinning and they needed, I wasn't listening to my parents all the time, right? Just the way they wanted, they'd take me in to see the youth pastor or the preacher. And man, he could reaffirm what they were trying to teach me in the home. And he'd help them unite the materials. But you can understand when a person takes and plucks the home, that plucketh is, it's exactly what it's talking about. It's the word it to pull with sudden force. That it was, again, I don't know about this, how, you know, the definition is kind of different when you put to pull off or to, again, with this, it's with a twitch. That's the definition from the 1828 dictionary. The back end of it says to pull with a twitch. I don't know if you've ever plucked a chicken before. I'm from the Eastern Shore, Maryland, all right? Purdue Farms is it's centered in my hometown, all right? So there's a lot of chickens to pluck where I'm from. And so we grew chickens, and sometimes they'd leave some behind, and we'd have to clean them and pluck them. And, you know, there are all kinds of different ways to skin a cat, but there's only one way to pluck a chicken, and that's to pull the feathers out. Now, there's some things that'll help it. You can get them in boiling water, and you can scald them things, and then they come out a lot easier. But I'm just telling you, you physically have to pull out the feathers. They got to come out. And again, so as somebody has built up the house, think about it, Mom, when we're our words, we talked about this on Sunday night, it goes real well. A lot of times it's not the physical plucking, it's the words that we say that pluck down, that tear apart the building. And again, sometimes it's, I thought about the word even to be into definition, that twitch. A lot of times we don't think before we speak sometimes. And our emotions run wild with us, or maybe something we didn't like, and we twitch and just say it without even thinking. And then we go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. There ain't no taking it back. You can say you're sorry, or I shouldn't have said it, but they heard it already. And again, you know, well, preacher, how can I do right? Listen, just get the blueprint. Stick in the blueprint. Use the blueprint. Stay behind the blueprint, amen, and build your home on it. He says in verse 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in all his in his ways, all right, and perverse in his ways despiseth him. This contrast that's here, even in the fear of the Lord, early in the book, it tells us again that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but feareth the Lord here, the contrast is very good because a lot of times, people will use all kinds of definitions to what the fear of the Lord is or he that feareth the Lord. But here we see a respect and a love for the Lord in the context. So the contrast is he that feareth the Lord, the upright, the feareth the Lord. And then the opposite side of this thing is going to be, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. The word despise is to dislike. And this is... What the person that is disobedient to God, young people, raise up your antennas and listen in to what the definition of he that despises, all right? To have the lowest opinion of. Can you ever think somebody that is going, one that's going to live upright and one person that's not going to live upright and be rebellious to the word of God, one fears the Lord or respects and loves him. The opposite one despises him. And that despising of the Lord means that I have a low opinion of the God that sent his son to die on Calvary and to pay for my sins. The one who knew who I was and still sent his son to die for me anyway. The one that could look inside my heart and even see my deepest thoughts and desires, but still cared for me enough to send his son. Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, I can't understand someone that would despise the Lord. I can't understand somebody that would spend their life not fearing the Lord. And again, if I could just say it, these are coupled together perfectly. Ladies, why should I build up my house, unite my materials? Because I fear the Lord. I fear him. I'm reverence him. I don't know. I'm not scared of God, but I love him. And if he wants me to do this, this is what I'm going to do. And so he continues and he says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Hear the contrast of the mouth. And we spent much time on Sunday nights and sometimes talking about the tongue and how it can hurt us. And so I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but in the contrast, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. The chapter before dealt with, that contention is not going to come without pride being there. There's not going to be this strife that we had if pride is not present. Now we realize again in this next chapter, in chapter 14, we realize that this foolishness, this foolish person who is again void of understanding, that person is the person that is going to use their mouth in a way that you can mark it and say, you know what? That was prideful. You know what I'm talking about. There are people all around us. When you're measuring whether someone is going to be someone that who is going to share wisdom with you, someone who you can mark. When we talk about, often we use the terminology, my spirit witnesses with their spirit. But often it is the words that come out of the abundance of the heart that measure up. And we feel that witnessing of the spirit, whether the words that come out of the mouth sound like words that fear the Lord or they sound like foolish words of pride. You know what I mean? That's how it happens to us all the time. And so here, as I balance all those things, then he comes to this, and sometimes we feel bad. Oh, man, none of us are good enough to come to church. None of us are good enough to serve the Lord. Boy, if we just measured ourselves that way, we'd start feeling that way. We get down on ourselves, but then the Lord puts a good verse in there for us, and he talks about here, he wants us. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to live an upright life. He has chose to use us as his servants. He didn't have to. He could have found another way. He could have done it all. I mean, again, he had unlimited possibilities, but he chose to send his son to redeem us unto himself. And then when he could have took us to heaven and found another way to be a witness, he left us here to give our testimony to others, to live and try to be more upright every day, to read God's word and build on our blueprint, and not just build our blueprint, but he was so good to give us a family, to not only just do it in the church house, but to do it in our own house every day through the week, and to share and to grow up and to build up our most holy faith in the home, in the church, in our work. And he goes all the way through and he says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean. The word crib there, again, I don't know about you, but where I'm from, I just can't help separating that from the corn crib. But the crib here just means stall. It's a place to keep it. So the stall of the ox is clean when there is no ox there. Now, you ain't got to be real smart to understand if you got a stall with no animal in it, it will stay clean. But you put an animal, some of you decided to keep cats. Now, I don't know why you do that. All right. And I'm not going to get off on a tangent tonight. OK, I could. I am capable. Thank you. All right. So, but, you know, there ain't nothing worse in this world than cleaning a litter box. Why anybody wants to have an animal in the house that has a designated place to go? Well, it's like our kids, doesn't it? Anyway, so that's just, so they have the litter box and you got to go clean that thing out after they, you know, but again, the same way as when we build a house for our ox to keep them out of the weather, or a horse, or whatever it is that you may have kept outside, that when that thing is there, I mean, again, from my home church, my preacher that I grew up under, where I was born and raised, he loves horses and loves to plow with them. But I didn't do a whole lot, you know, I did less plowing because I was a boy and did more cleaning the stalls. He did the plowing and I did the cleaning. And I thought, why do we keep these nasty animals around here? But you know, there was a day before a tractor, and if you didn't have an oxen or a mule or some animal to pull the plow, you could have got in there and pulled it. But you'd be glad when the oxen come along. You'd be glad when the mule gets in the field. You'd be glad when the horse comes and pulls that thing through the field. And again, that corn, that much bounty, that strength of the ox is something that was worthy of its hire. It was worthwhile for having. And yes, you got to go in and clean up behind them. Hey, I'm going to tell you, you got children in your home, even when they're trying to do right, sometimes they're not going to always do right. Hey, staff, you're going to work with other staff, and they don't always do it exactly like you think they ought to do it. We got people. We got bus routes. Man, those kids tear the building up. Yeah, but they also come and get saved. Amen. They also grow up into people that go to Bible college and serve on staff. Amen. Hey, I'm just here to tell you, you know, there is much strength from the ox. Read the scripture with me again. It says, where no oxen are, the crib is clean, but much increase is by the strength of the ox. Even when we were at our worst, God saw value in us. I want to get to the place in my Christian life that I don't look down my nose of pride at everybody that crosses through the door that isn't just like me, but I can be more like Jesus. And when I see them, I see their potential. I see what they can be if Jesus gets inside of them and saves them. I can see if they surrender to his will what he could do with them. I want to be able to see every kid that gets off the bus route, not looking at their clothes going and seeing what they don't have, but looking deep inside their soul and saying, man, there's something, that kid right there. There's a kid on my bus route right now that asked me more questions than any college student ever did. Because he got saved and he's reading the Bible and he wants to know about the Word of God. You give me 10 of them, you give me 20 of them, they'll change the world for Jesus Christ, because they desperately want to know what they don't know, because they fear the Lord. And if I don't know what he wants, I may cross him. That's fear of the Lord. I'm studying his book because I don't want to get on the wrong side of God. I want to make him happy. I want to please him. Hey, folks, I remember a time when I was dating my wife. I wanted to know what made her happy. Amen. I wanted to know what her favorite color was. I wanted to know what her favorite flower was. I wanted to know what her favorite dessert was. I wanted to know what her favorite restaurant was. And then I never used any more of that after I got married. No, that's not a good plan for marriage. No, I mean, but you know what happens sometimes? In the Christian life, we come to a place where we jump off that train. I want to know what God wants. God wants me to dress up for him. I'm going to dress up for God. He wants me in his house. I'm going to come to his house. He wants me to sing the songs with everything that I am. And I go in and I sing the songs with everything that I am. And then we come to a place in our Christian life where sometimes, like, that don't matter anymore. That God don't care about all the things, that the foundational things that we learned as young people. God wants me to walk with him every day. He wants me to read his word and to pray. Those are two of the simplest things in the Christian life. But as I scan the auditorium, there are things that people still struggle with every day because they haven't scheduled a time to pray. You know, everything we schedule ourselves for, we try to make appointment for, we try to be there and be on time. If we scheduled time with God, we could also be on time and be there. Schedule a time to read his word. Schedule a time to pray with him. And I saw somebody put out something that today that I thought was good. When you're backslidden away from God and you don't feel like, you know, one good thing is to read the word until he speaks to you. Amen. You know, it's a long time since I heard somebody say that. Just put your nose in the book and stay there until God speaks to you. Well, I've read. Well, how many verses? Well, I read two, but he never spoke to me. No, get in there and stay until God speaks to you. Let me ask you, Christian, listen, I know some of you, it's just hitting it, but how about the ones that read the Word of God every day? Let me ask you, folks, we're talking about backslid. You know what backslid is? Just means I'm not where I used to be. I'm not as close to God as I once was. Let me ask you, Christian, when was the last time that singing one of the hymns brought tears to your eyes and broke your heart because of what God did for you? When was the last time that you were in His Word and the tears began to fall on the page? Because you realize that you're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. And that God left heaven and came and left, I mean, a throne and everything that I can't even imagine and look forward to one day. And he came to die for you and to give you not just a life that was different than the world could have, but a life, an abundant life. One that the world can't have, one that the world can't explain unless they come through Jesus and by his cross. And tonight, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to get over getting saved. I don't ever want to get over the place that what people, I was a bus kid. I was a kid just like these other kids that come in off the bus routes. And if it hadn't have been for people in my life that saw value in me and continued to nurture me, somebody that decided to mother me in the church house and build me up, I wouldn't be what I am today. Hey, folks, there are all kinds of people that need you to not use foolish pride when we come into God's house, but to with lips of wisdom. Look at verse number 3. In the mouth of fools is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Sometimes for people to come back one more Sunday, all it would take is you to say, I'm so glad you're here. Amen. Sometimes just a word spoken of encouragement. I'm glad to see you're here. I know you're going through something tough, and I'm glad you made a choice to be in church tonight. Hey, all it takes sometimes is just an encouraging word. But sometimes we can say, I didn't expect to see you tonight. After what you did, you break somebody's heart and they may never come back. As a family, as a group of people, we need to desperately focus in on the things that God wants for us, but realize that because we're not perfect, you know, every week after everybody leaves, somebody here in the church takes all the trash out, cleans the bathrooms, and cleans up because where oxen are, the crib ain't staying clean. Amen. And I can tell you, one of my wife's big jobs, and she tries to get all of us to jump in with her at the house. When she left that week, I told you, me and my boys got the house clean, but she came and cleaned for 3 hours after I got it man clean. And I thought it looked good. But we know that, listen, there is strength in the ox. And so see the potential in all those around you. See, again, use that encouraging word to others. And then as we look here and get ready to finish up tonight, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Boy, this is something truthful for our day. A faithful witness. Do you know I found that if I'm faithfully witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, not just on my schedule, but, you know, there's a difference between going soul winning and being a soul winner. That means I'm ready 24/7. Lord, give me the opportunity and put somebody in my path because I'm ready. Amen. Not just on soul winning time, but any time that God brings somebody in the opportunity. But a faithful witness is not going to lie. But that opposite is, we live in this world today, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter what you believe about the vaccine and all that. It doesn't take, you don't have to have, you could be, according to the book of Proverbs, you could be one of the simple. You don't got to be a scorner. You can be simple and understand that they're not telling us the whole truth about this business. Amen. That they're not being forthcoming with everything. And that as we, you know, some of the things that are true, they mark them on those social media sites. They mark them, this is not true or this is false. And then there's other things that they keep saying, you know, like evolution is true. They don't ever put that up for that. They don't, you know, those that say, you know, get the vaccine and you'd never get it again. That ain't true. You know, they started telling us the truth at the beginning that you could get the vaccine, but you could still get it. And they stopped talking about that. You know why? Because it wasn't popular. It wasn't ringing in everybody's ear. I just, again, vaccine or no vaccine, I know that there are wide ranges of arguments on this. But again, we can all agree that that faithful witness, most of those people that are selling the lies down the pipe are not a faithful witness of Jesus Christ. And I want to be somebody, you know, it's a lot harder when you just had Jesus roll off of your lips to lie behind that. Now, Peter did it. What did he say? I know not the man. He had just been with him and he lied, you know. But again, I just want to tell you tonight, I don't want to stand before. I realize, and we, you know, as we end tonight, I'm looking at the church and you know, vaccine and everything we were talking about, it looks like we're in the end days, folks, that Jesus could come at any moment. And I believe it. I believe the word of God and I'm looking for his return. Amen. So why would I want the last thing that rolled off my lips to be a lie? Right. Right. Why would I want the last thing to be, and again, we preached on it a little bit here recently, why would we want to speak something that would sound like I'm ashamed of who I am as a Christian? I want people to know who I am. I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't even mind if they know I'm Baptist. Amen. I don't even mind if they know I'm a Big B Baptist. Amen. Amen. You say, well, Brother Parsons, what is it? I'll tell you after the service. Amen. You go to the college, you'll see some banners, the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Amen. Amen. Hey, folks, I just want you to know tonight, God loves you, and he saw value in you. Sent his son to die on Calvary for you. We don't often have an invitation on a Wednesday night, but I think we need to do that tonight. If you're a Christian and something that was said tonight, either about the home, maybe about your personal walk with God, you know, something that you need to do business with God, let's stand to our feet. We're going to ask the musicians to come, but don't wait for them. As they come, you step out and do business with God. If God has done something in your heart, you come and talk to him about it. Say, God, help me with this. If you're here and you're not saved, you don't know for sure if you died right now that you'd go to heaven, you'd have some doubt about that, let us take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Brother Bert's going to sing an invitation hymn. An invitation is simply asking you, you have an invitation to come and let us take the Bible and show you how you be saved. As Brother Bert sings,
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow.
Even when it's not popular.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, no turning back, no turning back.
We've had someone come. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? Some others are coming. If you get an attitude of prayer, if you're a Christian tonight, just pray if God's speaking to his people that they'll do business with him tonight, that they'll give in and do what God wants them to do. But if you're here and you're not saved, let me ask you again tonight, don't hold on anymore. If you know for sure that you're lost and you're undone without Jesus Christ, you've never accepted him as your Savior, then step out. Come down the aisle. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you exactly what the Bible says, the blueprint that we preached about tonight on how to be able to go to heaven, how to have what the Bible calls eternal life. We're going to give you one opportunity here as Brother Bert sings, so step out and come.
Behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me.